Let us begin by asking a question this morning. If God's people, if Christ's people, are so precious to himself that he would lay down his life for them, that he would shed his very blood for them, do we think, people of God, that he would cease to care for them now that he has ascended and sits at the right hand of God? Do you think that now is the time where the Lord Jesus would stop caring for his people after his ascension? And the answer, of course, to that question is no, isn't it, boys and girls? The Lord Jesus Christ, if he has laid down his life for his people, if he has shed his blood for them, why will he choose now to stop caring for them as he is in glory? The truth of God's word, people of God, is that our good shepherd even now still tends to his flock, and he leads us even to this very day. And he does so in a variety of ways, of course. And one way that we are going to consider this morning is that he chooses from out of his flock men who are called elders, men who are called under shepherds, who shepherd under Christ. And these men are called to care for his people. And now, not every man in the flock is called to be an elder, and not every man is called to serve in this way. These men are to be men of certain characteristics and have certain qualities about them and giftings given by the Holy Spirit. These are men who are called by the Holy Spirit. And our session has called for the election of one ruling elder to be added to our session. And it is up to you, congregation, to elect a man to office. And you must understand how you are to elect a man to office. You're not to elect him because he is your friend, though that may be a great bonus and a benefit and a blessing to you. You must not elect a man based on his social standing in the community. You must elect a man who meets Christ's own criteria, and the man who has a heart for you, Christ's flock. One you believe will be a watchman over your own soul, because your soul is precious to Jesus Christ. You are to elect one you believe is called to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. It's a solemn thing, isn't it, friends? It's a stunning phrase in the Word of God, a church purchased with the blood of God. And that is what the elder is meant to shepherd. That is who the elder is meant to shepherd. And that phrase sets our theme this morning, that the man who is elected must shepherd the church of God, which was purchased by the very life of our Savior. And today we're going to hear a charge that was given a long time ago to the elders of Ephesus. But that charge endures for the entirety of this age, friends. It remains with the church to demonstrate the kind of man we must elect as an elder. It remains with the church to demonstrate to us elders, who are elders, the kind of men that we must be. It also remains with the church to demonstrate and motivate those who might one day, even from among you boys, who one day might become elders in a congregation by the grace of God. And for all of us then, this text has rich application. And so with that to set our theme, we're going to observe three major qualities that are found in those who are called to be elders, who take care of Christ's blessed church. And these are on your outline. First, the elder must be a man who walks with God. Second, the elder must shepherd or tend to the church of God. And third, the elder must give rather than receive. The elder must give rather than receive. So let's begin with the elder must be a man who walks with God. And I want to start with a brief foundation as we considered the shepherding work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we remember that though our good shepherd Jesus has departed from the earth for a time, until he returns in power and glory at his second coming, even so, he has not left us destitute, has he? Because it can be really disheartening for some to know that their Lord Jesus Christ is not physically present here. That was a discouragement for the original disciples. And it might come as a shock to you if you've never considered it, that our Lord Jesus actually said it's to our benefit. It's to our benefit that he goes away. And you hear that in John 16, when he told his disciples who were disheartened, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." People of God, as the church was set to explode over the face of the earth, Jesus said it was better for him to go away. And it would be better for you to receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to fill the church of God. Why is that? That goes to the nature of our Lord, doesn't it? Because while Christ is in his human nature, he is present in one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit, friends, can be near to all of Christ's lambs, even in their very heart. Throughout the world, the Holy Spirit can indwell you. And now, if you think about the shepherding activity of Christ then, by indwelling a multitude of elders all across the globe, the Lord Jesus Christ can shepherd a global flock. It is to your advantage, then, he says, that he goes away. And so it's no surprise to us then that it is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the Helper sent by Jesus. He is the man, or he is the one who sets men apart to be elders. And he is the one who gives them the gifting required for the work. In verse 28, listen to how Paul puts it. "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." It's the Holy Spirit that makes a man an overseer or an elder. And that sets the context this morning for the work of the elder and why they are necessary. They continue the shepherding work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit indwelling in them. And friends, the elders then have to be seen as gifts that God gives to his church, empowered by the Holy Spirit to shepherd his precious people. And that is a grave task, isn't it? Now, that's a weighty task, to be sure. And you're going to see it's a difficult task as well. It's a task that requires a great amount of godliness. It's a task that requires a great deal of Christian maturity, why they are called elders, after all. It is an office of giving. It is an office of being poured out for Christ's sake and for the sake of his people, you, the people of God. Impossible without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And in our election next week, if a man is indeed confirmed to the calling, that will be the Holy Spirit making that determination, working through you who have the Holy Spirit indwelling yourself. But it is the Holy Spirit, after all, who makes a man an overseer to shepherd Christ's lambs. And so that is a foundation, briefly, theologically. Let's look at the narrative of what Paul tells the Ephesian elders. And it begins with the apostle calling for the elders in verse 17. He's going to depart from them, and he will never see them again. Not this side of glory, anyhow. And while this is a teary departure, he was with them for 3 years after all, what is that Paul's, what the forefront of Paul's heart is really not even his relationship with the elders, but really that the elders would tend well to the people, the dear people that he is leaving behind. That they would continue to care well for Christ's lambs, as Paul had for these 3 years. And that says something about the heart of an elder. For we know the apostle was also an elder. That the elder first cares and tends to Christ's lambs. They're always on the forefront of his heart. He is a shepherd. He takes care of Christ's people on Christ's behalf. And really, that simple fact really sets the tenor of the work of the elder. And so in verse 18, Paul reminds these elders of his own life and his own conduct to set the stage for his charge. And listen to the way that Paul was characterized in his own life. "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you hear how the man served the people of God? Did you hear how he served them? He served them with humility, not as a lord over them. He served as a humble servant, both a servant of Jesus Christ, of course, first, but also a servant of the people. And how were his labors characterized? With these two words, tears and trials. Tears and trials. He labored, and he said that he did nothing that was unhelpful for the church. Nothing that was necessary was left said, unsaid, or undone. And that is the heart of an elder as well. But his work was especially characterized, you see it here, with a focus on the gospel. He said he proclaimed repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The calling of the man was really a testimony of the grace of God to sinners in Jesus. That sinners are called to repent, and sinners are called to be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. You notice that we talked about this last Lord's Day in our afternoon service, but you see that Paul is always holding up the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Always. He cannot go very far without speaking of his beloved Christ. Paul always holds up the person and work of Jesus to the flock. And so it is for the elder as well, that the gospel must remain central to any elder's shepherding activity. We'll consider that a little bit later. In verse 23, Paul continues to speak of his labors and reminds you of these things. "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Once again, you get the look into the heart of a man who is a great elder. Paul wanted to finish his race with great joy, and he was running hard to testify to what? The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Now that has become such a expression that we know so well. But it really must be an expression that you marvel at, friends. The gospel, the good news of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Every elder at the Dallas Reformed Presbyterian Church must exult in the gospel of the grace of God. For without it, none of us, from elder to the youngest child here, has any hope, friends. We must all exult in the gospel of the grace of God. And sadly, sad to say, too many men who are elders have forgotten it. Too many men who are elders have forgotten of the gospel of the grace of God. Too many elders have lost the wonder and joy of the gospel, if they ever knew it in the first place. But my fellow elders, look at what Paul says. He runs his race with joy. And we are called to run our race with joy because we, entrusted to us, is the gospel of the grace of God. And to run as Paul did is really to run to testify to the grace of God as it is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, congregation, the simple fact of the matter is this. The man we elect must be a man who loves the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For it is the gospel that you need and I need most of all, friends. It is the good news that you and I will always struggle to remember as we struggle with the corruption of our sin and of our heart. And how awful would it be for Christ's lambs to have elders who don't remember the gospel? as they tend to the sheep. For how can they tend to the sheep without knowing the gospel of the grace of God? And so it is the gospel that we need, and it is the gospel that the man who is elected must have first and foremost in his heart. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. It is vital, friends, that we elect a man who loves the gospel as Paul did. And you know, this is a man, isn't he? Paul is a man who knows the Lord so well. To him was committed so many mysteries of the faith. But what will he speak of? It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows the moral principle, and this is important for us as we look to a man to elect. He knows the moral principle found in Hebrews 5, verse 2. Why it is that the man you elect must be a man who loves the gospel. Because in Hebrews 5, verse 2, speaking of the priests of the Old Covenant, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. So why is it then, friends, that it's important that the man loves the gospel? Because he knows he's a sinner himself. You don't want a man elected who doesn't know he's a sinner, because that such a man will not have compassion on you who are going astray. And he will not give to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul knew what? All the men of the earth, he called himself what? The chief of sinners. Didn't he? And so that is why the gospel is such great news and joyous news to Paul. So that he had so much compassion on those going astray. Because he himself is subject to weakness. And your elder will also be subject to weakness. Is that not the kind of man you need shepherding you, friends? One who knows that he is a sinner in need of grace himself. For he will then point you to the grace of God. You need a man who knows he is weak, but looks to Christ for strength himself. Not a man who believes he stands on his own two feet. No, you need a man who knows he is a sinner saved by the grace of God. Which brings us then to another question from our text. Why is it that the apostle brings his own conduct to the forefront in this text? Was he being vainglorious? No. You know that from Paul, right? You know his character if you read his epistles. If you remember, though, his epistles, you remember these words: imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. In other words, as Paul shepherded even the elders and the flock this way, what was he doing? He's merely following Christ's example. And what Paul is telling to the elders is, imitate me. Imitate my conduct. Imitate my focus on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as I imitate Christ himself, imitate me. And that shows you something of the man that you are going to elect as an elder. He is also supposed to be a man that you can say, I will imitate him as he imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle Peter says as much. 1 Peter 5:3, he says that elders are not to be lords over those entrusted to them, but must be examples to the flock. In other words, the last thing you and I need, friends, is a man who will say, thus saith the Lord, and not do it himself. You need a man who is worthy of being imitated as he himself follows the Lord. He is not a man who is supposed to lord it over you, in other words. Do this, do that, do the other thing. But you are to look at his own example and say, that man pictures Christ in his conduct. And I will follow Christ as that man follows Christ. He is to be worthy of your imitation, even as Paul was. And so we must elect a man who is worthy of imitation, who is an example to us, an example of godliness and an example of humility. Not men who are lords. Yes, they have authority, a true authority, yes. But it is a servant leadership of the one who has compassion on those who are going astray. An authority exercised because he loves Christ's sheep, not for his gain and not for his own glory. So elect a man who is godly and worthy of your imitation, friends. And so Paul charges the elders this way in verse 28. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And the first charge you see is this: take heed to yourself. take heed to yourself. In other words, before you take care of the flock, before you go about trying to shepherd them, you must first take heed to yourself. Be wary of yourself. Watch yourself. And many elders who have made a shipwreck of their office have forgotten this instruction. How can a man shepherd others if he will not watch over his own soul first? The man we elect must be a man who watches over his own life, friends. A man who walks daily with the Lord Jesus. A man of faith and a man of repentance. A man who does not think he has arrived, but continues to grow in his knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul charged Timothy elsewhere, take heed unto thyself and thy doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And while we are electing a ruling and not teaching elder, ruling elders are to know the doctrine of the Word of God as well. For Paul told the elders what? I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. What a beautiful expression. Verse 27. Yes, it is the role of the teaching elder, particularly, to declare the whole counsel of God, to not withhold it from you as Paul did not withhold it from them. And that is their particular role in shepherding. But then what happens? The ruling elders take that whole counsel of God and that is preached to them and to us and use it to shepherd the flock by it. And so the ruling elder must be under the ministry of the Word of God as much as they possibly can be. Do not elect a man who is not under the ministry of the Word. Together, both ruling and teaching elders express Christ's care for you and why you need both. Well, in verse 32, Paul says to the elders, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Yes, we all need the grace of God. But as we're about to see, our elders do especially. These are men who must be committed to the grace of God and to the word of God. And Paul knows that elders must be entrusted to God and to the word of his grace. And one of the great downfalls for an elder will come when he does not take time to spend with the Lord. When he himself is not nourished by the Lord. Elders then, who are on the session already, we must first take care of ourselves spiritually before we take care of the flock. Congregation, elect a man you trust will take heed to himself and watch over his own soul before he will shepherd you. A man of faith and repentance himself. We are not looking for a perfect man, for there is only one, Jesus. But the elder is characterized as a man who is quick to repent. He is quick to repent when he is convicted of his own sin, because he takes heed to himself. And he does not neglect to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he has taken care of himself then, he is ready to shepherd the church of God. Our next heading. Paul says then, take heed to yourself and to all the flock. To all the flock. We'll get to the word all because that's important. But he is to take heed to himself and to all the flock. He is to be a man of Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. He is to look after all the flock. That includes the oldest to the youngest, without exception. Those who are going astray and those who are walking well. And he is to be diligent in watching over them. He is to know all of them. He is to know the people under his charge. For this, friends, is no ordinary flock, is it? This is no ordinary flock that he is tending over. It is one that has been purchased with a great and tremendous price. And that really heightens the elder's work, does it not? This is a flock that was not purchased at the marketplace. This is a purchase that was made on the cross by the Son of God himself. And if an elder forgets that, what a terrible man he will be in the eldership, won't he? This is no ordinary flock. In verse 28, he reminds the elders, they must shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, if that doesn't cause every man who's an elder to at least have their heart sink just a little with the gravity of that, you're not in the right frame to be an elder. That is a tremendous, tremendous thing to hear. to shepherd the church of God, purchased with the blood of God. And that verse, of course, we've considered it before, is a tremendous proof text for the unity of the person of Jesus Christ. That isn't exactly the reason that it is given here necessarily, but Jesus is very God and very man. And the unity of his person is so great and so profound that the blood of his human nature is ascribed and counted as though it is the blood of God. God having no blood at all, of course, for he is divine. But he is one Christ, the God-man, the only mediator for us. And so this is a flock that was purchased by the blood of God, the God-man. And that is a reminder to elders to know that they shepherd those who have been purchased and bought at the greatest possible price. What greater price could be paid for these precious people? These people could only be purchased by the very blood of the Son of God. And so elders, even those who are the most difficult to shepherd, even the ones that are the most difficult to love, friends, they are to be shepherded well, aren't they? They are to be shepherded well, aren't they? Because Christ purchased them. And Christ counts them as precious. And Christ shed his blood for them, which tells you how precious they are to Christ. And what a grave thing it is to shepherd the people of God poorly then. Or even to avoid shepherding certain members of the flock. He says to tend to all of the flock. Brothers, we are not managers of a business who will report one day to a shareholder. No, friends, we are those who are called to give account to Jesus Christ himself. Friends, one day he will ask us to explain how we shepherded those he died for. And when he puts it in those terms, friends, what a grave question that is. What have you done with those I died for? That's the question that will be asked of every elder before the judgment seat of God. And that's a solemn thing to consider as we run the race that is marked before us. No wonder Paul committed the elders to the grace of God. How else can a man do this work if it is not by the grace of God? Elect a man then you believe will shepherd you as one who was bought at a tremendous price. And he says here, that these men are given the solemn task of protecting you because you are precious to God. He gives you these shepherds to protect you. And so you need a man who will be on the lookout for your soul, knowing how precious your soul is to Christ. And Paul is saying here, and we forget it so quickly, that the church is always in danger of wolves among us. Always in danger of wolves among us. That is the reality, friends, because Satan prowls like a lion, seeking to devour us. And so our elders are called to be vigilant. They are called to look out for us. Consider what Paul says in verses 29 through 31. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. What does Paul call these men who come in? Savage wolves. Savage wolves, and that is what they are. They are savage wolves, and the elder must be up to the task, friend, to be able to stand up to savage wolves who will ravage the flock of God. First, these wolves come into the assembly, and then from outside of it, in verse 29, we see that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. So there are some who will come in from outside of this assembly, seeking to devour. And our Lord himself said, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous. You hear that word again, that ravenous wolves. They are hungry to devour Christ's lambs, in other words. And the elder must know that there are those who come in to do so. And your elders are charged to beware those who might come in to devour. But more grievously, there will also be those who will rise up among us. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. They will speak perverse things, friends. They will try to take you off the straight and narrow path and onto crooked ways, heresies, moral corruptions. And the elder must watch for such men who rise up in our own midst. For such perverse men, you listen to what he says, they will rise up to draw the disciples after themselves. They rise up not to take the people to Christ, in other words. They always rise up to take the people to themselves. And if that is to happen, then who are the lambs departing from? Are they departing from the elders? Are they departing from the congregation? Are they departing from Paul, the apostle himself? No. They will depart from Jesus Christ. And that is the great problem. They will leave Jesus, which is why Paul charges the elders to watch, to have a watchful care, to be watchmen, as in Ezekiel 33. Who is Christ seeking then in the eldership? He is seeking men who are like David. What did David do with the sheep? He snatched them out of the mouth of the lion and of the bear, didn't he? He snatched his father's sheep out of those who would devour him. And so the elder is called to watch over your souls and to watch and wait and see for the wicked who are among us, to watch and warn us about them. And so elders express the Lord's care in that way, to save our souls from being ravaged. And that is why the author of Hebrews says this to you who are in the congregation: obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. See that? They watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The reason that you are called to obey your elders is couched in the remembrance that they are called to watch for your soul. They are those who are supposed to be watching over you. And if he says then, if it is hard for you to obey your elders, he says you can do it without fretting. Why? Because Jesus Christ is going to hold them accountable. Jesus Christ is going to hold them accountable. For myself, it is a grave matter to remember that the Lord will have a word with me one day about how I have done the things I have done here, about what I have done, and how well I have shepherded you all. And he will do that with every elder as well. And, you know, speaking from experience for several of our families, you know, when this church was constituted at first, several of us had come out of really, really bad ecclesiastical situations. So many of us had. And I remember a lot of our family said that we wanted this place to be a place of healing for those who have suffered and hurt, been hurt ecclesiastically. And I hope as we add men to the session, that continues to be part of the spiritual DNA of this place when our current elders are long gone. And so if you've had sinful elders in the past, my exhortation to you is, do not let them continue to hurt you. What do I mean by that? Do not let their sins against you cause to give up on the care that Jesus Christ means to give you in having your own elders, friends. The care he means to give you in having those who will love you and those who will shepherd you and those who will care and watch for your soul. For such men, we have already heard in the word, are meant to express Christ's care for you. And all of us must remember that sinners of every kind can easily cause us harm even when they are long gone. So do not let the sins of other men cause you from keeping you away from the grace of God and the care of God in Jesus Christ. Because that is what the elder is to you, an expression of Christ's care. And they are meant to shepherd you for your benefit, because Christ himself is shepherding you through them. And when you choose a man, that is your assent that you believe that this man will be, however imperfectly, an instrument of Christ's shepherding of you. That's what you're doing when you elect this man. Consider 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Here is the exhortation to the elder. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords, hear that? Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And that text is critical for us to know that elders are under shepherds. They shepherd under the chief shepherd, Jesus. Who is the chief shepherd in the text? Jesus Christ. And that means that they express the activity, and this is really important for us who are elders and those who will be elders. That means that they express the activity of Christ, the great shepherd, don't they? Consider the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23, where you hear that Christ leads you or leads me besides the still waters, that Christ leads you in the paths of righteousness. Are then the elders not meant to help you do that as they guide you through life? They visit the flock. They take them to the scripture. They point you to the chief shepherd himself. And so as you remember that then, is the elder then, am I not called, and are the elders here not called to be there with you in the valley of the shadow of death as well? Are they not called to do that, friends? From cradle to grave, the elder is meant to be besides Christ's lambs. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now Christ, we understand this, is always with you by your Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age, but he sends to you men as well who are under shepherds, friends, to be with you as he leads you through the valley as a manifestation of his care for you. Someone to hold your hand on the hospital bed as you go through the valley. Someone to hug and cry with as the elders in Ephesus cried with Paul. And when you confess your struggles with sin to the elder and he points you to faith and repentance in Christ, that is Jesus Christ himself shepherding you as he leads you to himself through a man. And when the elder comes to your deathbed, friend, will you remember that Christ sent him there to be with you as he shepherds you even in that? Friends, these men serve under Christ to point you to Christ. They lead you in paths of righteousness that lead to Jesus. So elect a man who will do that, who will shepherd you not only in the green pasture, but also in the valley of the shadow of death, watching over your soul, remembering that he will give an account before the Lord on how well he did and did not do that. A man who fears God and loves you as well. And so we come to our last heading, that the elder must give rather than receive. And one of the great snares of this office is that so many men come into office thinking it is going to be a great badge of honor, thinking that this office will make them someone important in the church. But men who are prone to pride should stay far, far away from this office, friends. And that such a man should always remove himself from consideration, for the office will only prove to be a snare to him. Yes, Peter did say that for the elder there is a crown of glory that does not fade away, yes, but it is a crown in glory. It is a crown in glory that only comes after Jesus says these words, after the elder has done well. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is a crown that is received for serving Christ and serving the lambs that were bought by his blood. It is not a crown that he receives here. It is a crown that is received in glory. And far too many men demand honor for being an elder. And yes, a people who love their elder may well give him honor, and that's a great blessing to an elder. But an elder is not a man who demands honor from the people. He is not a man who demands honor for his labor. He does not demand to be served. In fact, he is the servant, isn't he, of all. His is an office of giving. For he imitates his chief shepherd in that as well. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The office will cause a man to be poured out to the Lord. It is a sacrificial office, friends. It is a sacrificial office. Paul knew it himself. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Philippians 2. Did you hear that? Why was he poured out as a drink offering? On the sacrifice and service of your faith. For your sake, such men pour themselves out. And I have watched, as I have served with elders, both in this congregation, as well as in our Presbytery and Synod, and I have watched good and godly men literally pour themselves out for Christ's lambs. Many elders have wept on the floor of Presbytery over the strain of what is going on in their congregation, and that somehow, by God's grace, they must keep a congregation together. And yet they keep going by God's grace, because they know the calling is to be poured out for the Lord. We'll not name names, but one man who was the last elder remaining in a congregation after a discipline trial that removed the minister, he one day was just collapsed on the floor of Presbytery. He could barely move. But he continued to do it because of Christ's lambs. And he would not give up by the grace of God. That is the calling of the elder. A sacrificial office. And is it not then a reflection of Christ's own care for you? That he would send men with this kind of heart, a real gift for your sake, who will sacrifice and serve for the sake of your faith. And we must glorify Christ that he cares so much for us that he would give us men with that kind of heart. And that's why the apostle told the elders in verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. First note, elders, the charge is support the weak. Sometimes we forget that. We are to support those weak in the faith. That we are to support those who are weakened by their struggles. Those who are so clouded by their sin, they just cannot see straight anymore. We are to support those who are weak, because they especially are prey for the wolves, aren't they? Especially so. And they must receive special care and attention from the elder. And so, elders, you are called, and I am called, to be men who are sensitive to the struggles of the weak who are among us. That is our labor, and that is our ministry. And if you are here, friend, and we have not realized that you are weak, forgive us for that, and let us know how we may be able to support you as the elders of this church. Come to us if you are weak today, and you would need a word of encouragement or appointing to the Lord Jesus. That is what the Lord Jesus has appointed us for, after all. And boys and girls, I want you to know also, you are also under the charge and the care of these elders. We are your elders as well. You are under our charge and our care. And so feel comfortable coming to us as well. And know us, for we are your elders. And in these ways, I will remember when I first really understood the doctrine of the ruling elder, though I had studied it in my systematics and in my study of ecclesiology. I first came to understand the doctrine of the elder in my first Reformed church. I had come out of a congregation that was very large. And you know, it was the preaching ministry. It was the minister of the gospel, and that was really the ministry of the church. And one day I walked into the doors of this PCA church, and one of the ruling elders led me in, and I was wrestling over some doctrine or another. I don't even remember that doctrine anymore. But as I expressed my wrestling over the doctrine, I remember these words very plainly and clearly, even to this day. He said, wrong. You don't have to labor alone. And that really truly did teach me what I needed to know about the ruling elder. A man who cares about the flock, a man who will not let Christ's lambs be stressed and weak. And while I forgot the doctrine that I had come to him with, I remember the doctrine of the ruling elder from his own example. Elect such a man who will say to you, you do not need to labor alone, brother or sister. And so in this, Paul reminded the elders, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Because let me say this, as an elder, expect nothing, right? Expect nothing but jeering and in a lot of ways sinners rising up against you, people who are not going to care that you pray for them. That's okay. That is what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be many who appreciate you and love you dearly, but there will be many times where you will get nothing in this life. But the Lord Jesus says, do not expect that, for it is more blessed to give and pour out of yourself than to receive. So elders are givers of themselves. And we must ask the question then, why will a man do it? Why will a man do all these things? Why will a man put himself in this position? What could possibly motivate a man if it isn't earthly glory? What could motivate a man to do it, to pour himself out in these ways? For it seems a lot easier just to take a seat here and never be on a session. Well, in 2 Timothy 2, Paul gives a charge to Timothy, and he explains why a man will do it. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And that's the motivation. To please him who enlisted you as a soldier, elders. You know, the elder endures hardship first and foremost to please him. To please Jesus Christ, the one who enlisted him. The man runs the race to please Jesus, for the Spirit of God had drafted him to do so. Elders, remember that as you shepherd Christ's flock. All things that you do it, as we pray so often, for Christ's sake. All of this pouring out, all of this giving, it is done for the sake of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well-pleasing to him. Whatever we do, we do it for Christ's sake. So congregation, at the end of the day, elect a man whose pleasure is to please Christ. Elect a man who loves Christ and will please him. For such a man remembers his own Savior. And he remembers that his own Savior laid down his life not just for himself, but also for you as well. And you must love a man and elect a man who will remember Christ. Because if Christ is precious to the man, then the bride of Christ will be precious too. And you will be precious to him. And so congregation, as we prayerfully consider electing a man to office, consider and meditate on the words of the apostle here in Acts chapter 20. And if you are a man who senses the call of the Lord to this office, meditate and drink deeply of this text and ask the Lord for the graces necessary for it. And some of you, even in this congregation, might be considering a calling to the ministry, to be a teaching elder one day. And you must know that these characteristics are necessary for you too, heightened maybe in some ways as well. So consider this chapter as well. And to our current elders, to our current session, I hope that Paul's words to the Ephesian elders renews your zeal for your office. It renews your zeal for Christ. It renews your zeal for his gospel. And it renews your zeal for his precious lambs, that you and I would shepherd them well, knowing that we will have to give an account to the one that we are enlisted to please in the service of Christ. And our congregation has been blessed with several inquiries into church membership as of late. And I hope now that you see, if you're coming into a Presbyterian church for the first time, I hope you see that to have your own elders is an expression of Jesus Christ's care for you. It is an expression of his commitment to not leave you as orphans. And if you don't know this Jesus by faith, one who cares so much for his people to not only just die for them, which is a marvel of marvels, but even now shepherds them well. If you do not know such a Savior, come to him. Come to him. No one else will care for your soul in this way. The devil will abandon you. The world will abandon you. Only Christ will express this kind of care. And so, congregation, let us praise Jesus Christ today for the ways that he provides for us, the way that he ensures that we are not orphans, including giving us the gift of under-shepherds. And so it is then, elders, it'll be to the chief shepherd, and not to us will be the glory. For even the crowns that we receive, the crown of glory that we receive, we will gladly cast at his feet, won't we? Even that we will gladly cast back at his feet, for it is the Lamb who is worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. Please rise for prayer.